Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Not Another Internet Guru podcast. In this podcast, I am incredibly excited for you guys to hear this. It's with Marcus Monroe. He's a comedian. He's a content creator. I think he's got over 170,000 followers on TikTok now. Maybe more. I'm pretty sure he had 170,000. Yeah, 170,000 at the time that we recorded this, which was last week. Had a ton of fun recording this one. He is just fucking hilarious. If you ever want to laugh about anything, he does jokes, acts, everything that you could ever think of. Fucking hilarious. Even his last post on Instagram, well, he's probably posted since then, but his last post on Instagram at the time of me recording this is him putting a rubber glove over his face and blowing it up like a fucking balloon at the dentist. This guy is hilarious. If you want to see comedy content, you want to see how to do it right on TikTok, you guys need to check him out. I'm going to link out to his name in the description. Let's get into the podcast.
So my name is Marcus Monroe. I am a comedian and I perform all around the world. I am in my early 30s, but I've been performing professionally for over 20 years. And I do some juggling and some weird tricks as well, but really it's like the comedy that's like my main focus. So I've been on TikTok since January. I feel like this is like an AA meeting. I've been on TikTok since January, and my name is Marcus and I'm a comedian. That's it.
All right, so before we get into like what we were just talking about, because again, I think that's super interesting. Two questions. First, You really have a boy band bathroom in your apartment?
Yeah, do you want to see?
Yeah, let's fucking see it.
Is this a video podcast?
So I'm gonna like chop it up. Some of it'll be video, some of it'll only just be on podcast. But this right here, this is going on.
Okay, all right, it might get a little dicey because it's in the basement of my apartment. Uh-huh. But yeah, this is the boy band bathroom. I don't know how well you can see it from here, but it's a bunch of boy band shit. And then my favorite part is on the door, just like the five dudes.
That is
for awesome. A boy band. Now, I should say off the bat that like I am married to a woman. My wife was very on board with this from the beginning. Because I don't ever do anything like half, like I either go hard or I don't do it at all. Uh-huh. And so I was like, hey, do you mind if I kind of decorate the bathroom any way I want? She's like, yeah, sure. And then I didn't really tell her what I was going to do with it, but I thought it was super, super funny. And also like great content could come out of the bathroom. Like I wasn't thinking about that at the time when I moved in here, cause I didn't even know what TikTok was, but I was like, oh, this could be kind of funny. And so I'm happen to be friends with a lot of pop stars. It just happens that I kind of put myself in positions where I become friends with them. And so they've come down in here and I take like their photo and they're like, I'm going to make a collage book of all my famous friends that have been in here in the bathroom. That's yeah, awesome. It is weird. I get it, but it's, you know, it's my thing. I like it.
No, that is that Tupac behind you to the right?
Yeah, this is a painting I did. I did that in about 8 minutes. And it was, I did like speed painting. Yeah. So I painted this, it was upside down. I painted it like 5 years ago and it's been in so many different apartments of mine, but I put it in my office just cause I thought it was kind of a cool place to go. It didn't really fit the aesthetic of our upstairs, but it's a giant ass Tupac. I love Tupac, and going along with the theme here, I bought these shoes that have Tupac on them. I'd never seen these before, but they say Thug Life on the back too. I thought that was pretty sweet. That's nothing to do with TikTok or gaining followers, but it's just, since I'm down here with all my shit, thought I'd just share that.
No, that's interesting. So I've thought about like just getting a ton of famous people like tattooed all over me randomly.
That's great. I'm like, all for
why
it.
Not? You know?
I think that's a cool. So like my buddy Ryan Cabrera, who's a singer-songwriter, he does tattoo roulette with his friends. I don't have any tattoos. Great.
I love that.
But he has rules. Like it has to be something that your grandmother can see and it can't have like swears or something. And those are the rules and that's it. And him and his friends, they go off and they just get tattooed and then you don't know what it is until it's completely done, miles away from the tattoo parlor. And he did that recently, I think, with some friends of his. And I've told him that I would play with him, but like it has to be like on like my leg somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, like my thigh or like a leg. I don't care about my legs. Like if anyone sees a tattoo,
it's like
I don't care.
The new thing now to get leg tattoos like that. You know, it's like TikTok's made it cool.
I think so. I think so. I think a lot of people are going to be getting leg tats, especially after this podcast drops. And we're like, oh my God, Robert and Marcus are talking about leg tats. Let's get them.
I'm going to do it.
Are you really?
I swear to God.
Get like
tattoo
for you. I think it'd be funny if you got like a GeoCities logo or like some angel fire, like old school, like internet swag on your body.
I'm writing this down. This is happening.
You got to remember your roots. That's why you always have to remember where you came from.
This is 100% happening. And so this is like why I want to move, right? So like, so I've been hanging out a lot right now in Palm Beach. Are you familiar with Palm Beach, Epstein, the whole nine fucking...
I mean, I
don't want to incriminate there, man.
No, I've never been there, but I get it. I get the vibe. I'm in Florida quite a bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. Actually, man, I'm going to be there doing a show November, the day after the election, November 4th. Oh, I'll be in Boca.
You're going to be in Boca?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to put that on my calendar. I'm coming to that.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm going to be here. So like, it's like, I don't fit in here. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, I guess the hair, like people probably think I fit in, but like I have tattoos. I don't dress up and shit, you know, like,
yeah,
I need to be somewhere where it's like my people, you know? Cause I'm realizing even more putting out content. Cause it was, I always went down the path of like finance, analytics, this, that, the other, like, that's not me, you know? That's why I was so excited to talk to you, because like, you're just unapologetically you, and that comes off through your content.
I'm a little weird. It's not for everybody, and I get it, but I don't care, you know? And I think I was even thinking what you could do is get like an Airstream, because like you don't really fit in one specific place. And as, you know, as the climate changes, not like temperature, but as like where you live changes, you might want to get up and just move one day. That's why I could see you like getting like a fucking RV and just like, I'm just going to go wherever the road takes, because you can work anywhere. You can work so remote. It doesn't even matter. You just need a phone and Wi-Fi.
That's
and you're good.
It's so weird because like so many people hit me up. I had a girl from college hit me up. I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago. I was drinking a little bit. And she's like, do you live anywhere? And I'm like, no, I don't. Like I, you know, it's cool. You know, it's.
I get it, dude. I love that lifestyle. When the pandemic happened, before it happened, I was in a different country every single week. A different country performing every single week for years. And then the pandemic happened, and like my wife and I live on the Upper East Side, and we got like a really small apartment because we're like, we're never gonna be here. Like we're just a place to leave our stuff. And it turned out that we've been here now since March, like 14th or something. We've been quarantined since. So, you know, if we could just get up and leave and get an Airstream, I would be for it. But I think I always need to have roots in New York, just because it's like the comedy mecca of the world. Yeah. I need to be here. I need to play the game, show face, do my sets, you know, socialize with my friends. That's part of the job too.
That's fucking awesome. All right. So you said you dropped out of college twice.
Yeah, I did. I went to Marymount Manhattan on the Upper East Side for theater. And then I dropped out and I went to film school at Hunter College.
Mm-hmm.
And then I dropped out of that. But I only went to film school so I could learn how to edit like my videos. Like gotcha. This was like right when like YouTube was popping off.
Mm-hmm.
So like 2006, I was like, oh, I just need to really like, I knew video content was going to be, you know, the way of the future.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out like, oh, should I be like a YouTuber? Wasn't even a name then. It was just like, people were just like Lonely Girl 15 was maybe a thing. Like this is how long ago I'm talking. So it wasn't even like, I wanted to put
there weren't
up
a bunch of kids driving around in fucking Teslas yet that like
no
were tens
not at
of
all
dollars for doing nothing.
Right. But I wanted to make content that I could put like on a DVD. Like if I'm dating myself even more now.
That was what comedians were selling back in the day, right? It was
totally.
Like,
oh yeah.
Isn't that
I have
Kevin Hart got big, right? Kevin Hart.
Who is it? Yeah, Kevin Hart got big by collecting email addresses too. Every club he would go to, he'd collect everyone's email address, and then he'd email them after the show and say, thanks for coming. Then he'd also like categorize them by city. So anytime he came back to that city, he would have their email addresses like ready to go. Now, Facebook already kind of does that. If you want to send out a message to a certain group of people, I think you can do that on Facebook.
Yeah.
Maybe not. I just kind of post my dates on my website and my socials and hope people see them.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I don't have the time or the patience sometimes to ask for email it. I should, probably should, but like to go to,
about
to the audience after a show.
Community, the text platform.
So this guy called me from Community, and this guy Nico, he really was anxious to set me up. And then like after a conversation, he was like, it's $100 a month. And I was like, bro, what? I was like, to text people? I could just get a Google number and do it. He's like, no. He's like, okay, $50. I'm like, you're cutting it in half already. Like you're not even showing me like the worth. Like, so I didn't get on Community yet. And I think I probably will once I start doing live tours again, because I'll need people to come to my show. And now that I am growing so fast and so much on TikTok, that I have a lot more people that I can post my number to on my bio and hit me up.
So have you, obviously it's hard during a pandemic, but like, has TikTok helped with anything as far as your career goes?
It hasn't. I mean, like, it's hard because no one's really booking too many shows right now. But I do think when people Google my name on the internet or to want to look at my socials, they're like, they kind of, it looks better than when you have just like a couple thousand followers. If you have, you know, X amount, I think people kind of look at that and go, okay, well, people are enjoying his stuff. He kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I think it probably will help eventually a lot more than it has during the pandemic, but it has given me something to do during the pandemic, which I didn't have before. Like I was making, before I started really getting serious with TikTok, I was making like Instagram videos and then just posting those onto TikTok. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is, and this, you and I kind of discussed this when I first signed up for your program, it wasn't TikTok native content. It was content that did well on Instagram, but on TikTok, which is a totally different platform, it didn't do well. And I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that you needed to make content specific for this app. I'm like, well, these videos are funny. People like them on Instagram. Why doesn't that translate to TikTok? And I was not asking for engagement. I did not have text in the first 2 seconds of the video. I wasn't using effects. I wasn't using transition. I wasn't hooking them in at every 4 seconds. Mm-hmm. So I really needed to utilize like what you taught me into those videos. And then once I figured out how to do that and still present myself as like an original, I wasn't just like copying all the other trends. I was doing trends, but my style.
Exactly.
Then it became easier for me. But it still is hard. I still wake up every morning and I go like, I rack my brain, like, what can I do today? Like I, you know, some days I wake up, I'll like, oh, it'll be a duet day. I'll just do a duet and call it done. Some days I'll, you know, I never really want to do like the dances. Like, I don't even know what that is. I'm 35. I can't be like, you know, if I do a dance on TikTok, it'll get flagged for being too creepy. No way, man. I don't want to do the WAP. I did like a video about WAP, but I didn't do like what everyone else was doing. Uh-huh. I told the pilot that WAP stood for Welcome All Passengers. And so when I was on a plane, the pilot then said, WAP, everybody. And then I recorded him saying that. Yeah. And then I put it on my TikTok. And then no, I don't think anyone in the plane knew what was going on, but it was pretty funny. Pretty funny for me.
That's
at least.
Fucking awesome.
There was like 16 people on the plane. Cause it was on Delta and they're pretty good about social distancing the seats.
Uh-huh.
But yeah. So once I started utilizing the tips that you gave me, I did see like a really fast increase. Like I was one of those people that like hit you up in your DMs. I was like, bro, I normally wouldn't be this guy, but I'm getting 10,000 followers a day.
That's how everybody starts it off. I never do this. It's like when a girl, you know, obviously you're married and shouldn't have, like when a girl says, oh, this is the first time I'm doing this, like, no, it's not. How many times have you said that same line? You know, like.
Well, the thing was like, I never thought I would be able to do, I never thought I would have no problem setting my pride aside and texting you, but I didn't think I would get to that point. That was what I was trying to say. Like I was stuck at 4,000 followers, which is still a good amount, but I was stuck at there for months, slowly scraping, trying to get more. And I had one of my good buddies, Kareem, he had like a video blow up with 40 million views of Black Lives Matter. And when George Floyd protests happened in Minneapolis, he was there and he just has an amazing eye. And he put together this crazy video. And it was like the first video when you search Black Lives Matter. It's my buddy Kareem, and it's got like 40 plus million views or something insane.
That's crazy.
And so I saw, and him and I would always text and send each other videos like, is this funny? Is this funny? Like take out the last couple seconds of this, add in this. And then he just blew up like literally overnight. And I'm like, whoa, this can really happen. So that's when I started taking it very seriously. I'm like, okay, if Kareem, and then he's verified, which I know you don't care about, but I'm saying like, whoa, he just was like my dude. My new Kareem. And now
I don't care, but it legitimizes you.
It does.
You know?
Absolutely. And when some people like leave comments like, why aren't you verified? I'm like I personally don't care. It's not going to change the content I'm putting out.
Yeah. It's just going to changes some people's perspective of you. From my perspective, because again, my background, like I have so many friends that are, you know, verified. They paid a PR agent to hit up all these people to get them verified. And they're just a fucking con artist.
Right. Yeah. You know? I mean, Yeah. You know, when before I was verified on Instagram and stuff, I spent like a couple nights researching how to get verified on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it just all of a sudden just happened one day. I was all of a sudden verified and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. That's how it happens. Cool. It just suddenly happens. So I was just saying, I didn't think it was going to be me, one of those people texting you or DMing you, because I didn't think I would get to that point. Uh-huh. I thought at the end of the summer, when August comes, September, if I can have 10,000 followers, I'd be so stoked with that. I'd be happy with that because yeah. I was growing so slowly. But then, you know, I put out a video and I didn't even think this video was any good. I just needed content. I needed something to post. It was a juggling video that I don't even really like to juggle on my TikTok that much, but it had like 1.7 million views. And then mm-hmm. it kept growing and growing. I got 10,000 followers every day for like a week and a half. And then I posted another video. It was one of these videos where you're like, if you think it's this one, double tap, you think it's this, hit plus, if you think it's this one, comment. Mm-hmm. So I gave three options. But I also, for some reason, I knew when I made this video, I knew it was going to land on the For You page. I don't know how. I just kind of thought, like, this is going to be. Like,
this.
I just had a feeling. Based on the trends of my last couple videos that did well, I was like, this is combining two of the things that really do well. And I'm doing it at the same time in under 20 seconds. And I'm using like trending look, like I was using all the stuff. I did all the
stuff. That point, you knew like, all right, this is what I need to do. Now I just need to execute on this.
Yeah. I mean, and like as a comedian, it's not funny. Like it's not a video that like I want people to see, mm-hmm. but it has 2.9 million views right now. And then I reposted it like a week ago and it got 2.1 million views. So like every time I reposted, I've at least gotten 2 million views, which is not bad.
No, that's not
at all. And it gets me a lot of followers too, which is great. And then people, I see a boost on all my other videos because people go to your page and they look at everything else. So that's also really helpful.
Have you messed around with the Stitch feature yet?
Not yet, no.
I think you could fucking crush that.
Yeah, I've seen some really funny stitches and I just wrote it down because I don't want to forget. But I think, I think I could probably do some cool stuff with it. So it's just stitches, if I understand correctly. You watch a video, then you can put in a comment or something, then it goes back to the other video, right?
The first 5 seconds of your video will be that other mm-hmm. video and then you fucking pop up, you know? Like,
yeah, that'd be great. I would love to do that.
I think you could find some really creative shit to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'd be cool. That's the thing. Like, I'll be like scrolling at night, you know, like the wife's asleep. I'm just like scrolling, trying to see like if there's any good ideas happening. I usually get my good ideas at night. Then I write them down and then I look in the morning and they're all trash. You know, like I'm just like, what was I thinking? But yeah, so I do need more ideas for sure. And that's another thing. I'm too hard on myself. If an idea isn't like, I got to just post, you know what I mean? And stop thinking about it. I kind of overthink things too much.
I think that is where a lot of my strength has come from, is like at the end of the day, I don't fucking care. You know, like we'll put it up there. If it doesn't work, it didn't work. Whatever, you know what I mean? The world's not going to end. It's like, I tell everybody, especially now, like no matter what happens to me, I'm getting sushi at the end of the day. I'm going to have my feet in the sand. That's it. You know,
is sushi, does that mean actual sushi or does that mean something else?
The actual sushi.
Okay. All right.
But every day, that's it. If I can get, I got enough money in my pocket to get sushi, put my feet in the sand, so be it, whatever it is. Because you probably realize this too, over, you said 20 years being in, I'm going to call it the entertainment space, for lack of a better
word.
You have good moments, you have bad moments, and you're doing the same shit during both of them, you know?
Right, exactly. Yep. I mean, they always say you're only as good as your last show.
Yeah.
And like, I kind of think of like, you're only as good as your last TikTok. So like, I try to like, because like I posted a video last night. I went to the dentist. This was all true. I don't know if you saw this yet, but I took one of the latex gloves.
That was fucking
awesome. I like blew it up over my face. But then the dentist came in and she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, I'm okay. Sorry." Like I thought it was gonna be a while. I usually wait in there for like an hour. And so I posted that. It got like 100,000 views. And the next video I posted was like me and my buddy beatboxing. And I'm a terrible beatboxer, but he's like a world champion. I was like, oh, this'll do well. And it flopped. And I was like, what is going on? But like, so like now I'm like, okay, well, my next video has to be really, really good. It has to be like really strong. So like in the morning, I build myself up again. Because I'm telling you, man, like when you're a performer and you feed off the audience and you feed off like like the validation of strangers, as weird as that sounds. Of course. So when I couldn't perform because of the pandemic, I was like looking for the validation I would typically get from being on stage, you know, by posting videos and looking at the comments and getting that instant gratification from my videos instead of a live show. So when I have a video that tanks, it's kind of like having a set that bombs or a new joke that doesn't work.
So
it's that same feeling of, oh, I'm going to show them. you don't want to watch this video? We'll wait till this video comes out. And then what I did, I didn't even tell you this, but once when the Drake's Tootsie slide came out, is that it? I was like, oh, okay. This is before I understood TikTok's like community guidelines, but I lit myself on fire. And then I went out to my backyard and I juggled to it. I was juggling fire while on fire. I have like this, I wore like thick jeans and covered them with rubber cement. And then I lit the rubber cement and just kind of burns. And then I posted that and it didn't even last a second. They were like, no. But I was like, oh, this is going to go so viral. Like I'm on fire doing the Tootsie slide while juggling fire. Like, come on. But no. And so I was like, gosh, you know, that's when I really was like, okay, wait, what can I do? Because I see a lot of people juggling fire on TikTok, but like, I'm not allowed to. So I was like a little upset with that. I still haven't posted any fire juggling.
See, that's like, again, it's weird because if the person has a big following, then they're whitelisted by TikTok. They can post whatever they want. That's what happens.
Good to know.
Like that even happens. I get hit up so many times by like parents who have a little kid and they post for their kid, which like, I mean, personally, I just find that kind of weird. Like, why do you want your kid to be famous? You realize that ruins everybody's life.
Dude, it's a retirement plan, man. That's investing in their kid.
You're going to put your kid through this tornado. Like I could count on my two hands the amount of people that have made it out of that, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. True. It's like worse than stage parents. Like I work with kids sometimes when I'm on sets and they have their parents with them and they're just so overbearing. Mm-hmm. Helicopter parents micromanaging every move they make. And it's a little gross, to be honest.
It's just crazy. So like, I'll say to them, like, look, like, I'm sorry. Like there's nothing I could do to help you here. Like you need to hit up an agent who's going to like whitelist your account with TikTok and then you'll be able to post your kid all you want. But like some people will post their kid once in a video. They'll have 100,000 views, 100,000 followers, post their kid once and try to turn it into like the kid's account and boom, they get zero views, none.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a sad day for them because they're probably looking at their kids so like disappointed in them, like it's the kid's fault. Like you could have been something, and the kid's like, "What? I'm 7."
It's just crazy. Yeah. So you getting into comedy, getting into performing, were your parents supportive of that, or like what was
100%?
Yeah.
So my dad was the principal of the high school I went to. And so like you would think from like administrative perspective, he would want me in school, but he actually let me like ditch high school, take his car and go practice like juggling and performing because he knew like I wasn't a good student, man. I was like, no, not at all. And I like to read, I like to learn, but just not. So I took a lot of classes on the internet. Like I was homeschooled for a little while because I was doing a lot of like at home schooling.
So they were like supportive of that from the jump.
I'm more hands-on. I learn differently. I'm very visual and I get distracted easily. So I just like, yeah, it's like, you know, that joke, like how many ADD kids does it take to change a light bulb? Let's ride bikes. Like that's my, like, that's how I am. Like,
that's just how you operate. So like, say you're going to come up with material, right, for a show or something like that, a new joke. Like what's your process for doing that? Does it just randomly come to you? Do you have to, cause I listen to Joe Rogan a lot and he's like,
yeah,
all of them say it, like you have to live real life to be able to come up with these things. You can't just live in a bubble.
That's right. So when I travel a lot, it's very easy for me to write material because I'm experiencing new things. I put myself in uncomfortable situations purposely to see what it's like. There's not one way I typically write, but usually I'll think of a funny thing that happened to me. Like the boy band bathroom is kind of a funny story because I was for like a long time, I've been into boy bands. I have been. And like I was on my wife and I were in Salt Lake City doing some shows. And I saw on Twitter that Lance Bass from NSYNC was having a cruise. And I was like, oh, I need to perform on this cruise. I need to do it. And she's like, what? You're not gonna. She's like, no, I need to be on this cruise. And within 2 hours, I was booked on that cruise because I found the guy who booked it, sent him my videos. And he was like, this is awesome. I'm like, I'll do it for free. Just let me do this. And he's like, sure. So like, you know, stories like that, just putting myself out there in real life situations. I write about my dad being the principal of the high school. My wife and I, talk about her quite a bit because we just have a weird relationship. I mean, we have a great relationship, but it's just different. So like, yeah, we talk, you know, I just, real life experiences is what I like to base my comedy on. I don't like to make things up. I don't like to do street jokes because I think the audience is really smart and they're able to tell when you're bullshitting and when you're not. Same with TikTok. Like when you can tell when someone's faking a video, when someone is doing something that they want to look real, but it's staged, like you can see through that pretty easily.
Yeah.
If you're doing like prank wars with your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you can tell so fast if it's set up and they're just trying to get like make it look like they're really upset or mad or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So I want it to be authentic. I try to be as authentic as possible on stage when I'm writing my material and also when I'm filming my stupid videos on TikTok.
So I think looking at your TikTok account, I like, I'm not saying light yourself on fire, but I mm-hmm. think like you could push the envelope more.
I want to, man. Like I have chainsaws back here. I have knives. I have like crazy stuff that I have yet to do. Like I'm lucky to have a little bit of outdoor space here in my apartment, but I really kind of like, it's hard to do all this stuff I want to do like while we're still in the pandemic, even though things yeah. are still slowly opening. But like I have a list of ideas that I think would be fun to do, but I also am scared of getting like reported or like my account banned because yeah. I put in all this work now and I'm like, oh well,
you don't want to nothing if
I get right. I want to lose it just because I wanted to, you know, like balance a knife on my face or something, which I have done and it's fun.
How do you learn how to do things like that? Like I had somebody on the podcast earlier. He does backflips. Like that's his content.
Oh, great.
He's like a kid. And I'm like, when he first hit me up, he's like, yo, I want you to like show me how to make TikTok content, this, that. I'm like, this kid's going to like fucking land on his neck and die or something. And I'm going to be the cause of this.
Yeah. You're going to be the fault. You're going to be thrown in jail. No.
So, dude, like, how do you learn how to do this? Like,
how old's that kid? Like 9 or 10 or something?
Nah, he's like 20, but it's like, dude, well, I'm going to tell you to do a backflip in your pool and you're going to break your fucking neck and they're going to see the emails from me, you know, telling like, you to do that. Like,
yeah, specifically like juggling. I taught myself when I was like, when I was 9 uh-huh. and then I learned, and I taught, and it was like super easy for me, to keep up with it because it was something that like no one else really did. So I learned from a book. It was, I learned when I was so young. Like if I tried to learn something new now, it would take me forever to learn. But all it is really just breaking things down step by step. Like you don't want to, if you're going to learn how to juggle 3 balls, you uh-huh. have to learn how to do 1 and 2 before you go to 3.
Yeah.
And people get impatient because they just want to juggle 3 balls right away. They don't want to put in the work to, you know, to learn how to do it correctly. So I wasn't really good at, like I wasn't the most athletic person growing up. I wasn't really into sports. I was more into like theater and wanted to do comedy. But when I saw juggling, I was like, oh, well, this is kind of athletic and I can perform while I do it. So I kind of did both, learned from a book, and it just became like a passion of mine. And then when I moved to New York, that's when I started doing more comedy-based performances. Mm-hmm. So now I do shows. I don't even juggle. I'll just do like an hour of stand-up or whatever it is.
It's just all stand-up.
No, I mean, some depends on what the booker wants. Like, you know, I'm still at that point where if they want me to juggle, I will. Or if I want to, I will. But I don't have to do it if I don't want to. Like, I can still do a full show and not play catch with myself at all. Mm-hmm. But, but it's good to know I can if, like, they're not liking the jokes. All right, guys, here we go.
You got something else.
Yeah, put a little juggle into it. But like juggling also has like a really bad connotation attached to it. It's like mime or ventriloquism. It's not something that like is cool. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a magician, you can do like cool street magic and stuff. Like you can like shove a pen up your nose. Like you can do anything you want and it's kind of cool. But like juggling still is not cool. And I know like I'm kind of playing into the stereotypes. I have long hair. I'm wearing tie dye. I get it. But what are you going to do? I'm just being me.
No, that's awesome, man. I love it. I was excited to talk to you because I'm like, this guy's fucking interesting, you know?
Like, dude, I hope I'm not letting you down. I think people like see me on socials and they think I'm a lot cooler than I am. Or maybe they don't. Maybe they don't think that. Maybe it's more on stage, but I always feel like,
no, all man, right. This is fucking awesome.
Okay,
this
good.
Is great. I wish this pandemic wasn't going on. I would have tried to meet you in the city or something and do it in person.
Yeah, dude. Well, I'll see you in Florida yeah. in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you said November 5th, right? I wrote it down.
Yeah, the 4th or the 5th. I might be there for a few days. I might be doing a show in Boca and then going to Daytona for another show. I'm not sure yet.
When you're in Boca,
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, Boca's not that far.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'm going to be doing like a, some kind of country club, but if you come with me, you'll be fine. They won't awesome. Care.
Anything else you want to plug? Anything like that you want to talk about?
Follow me if you want to see some fun content at Marcus J. Monroe on TikTok and Instagram. I do have YouTube, but I haven't posted a lot. And I should probably, because I think that's probably something to do, something good to do.
Yeah. But I feel like, so you probably need a way to break it down where it's not going to like inhibit your creativity. You know what I mean? Like it can't become a job that like, oh, I have to post on here Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Right. Like,
well, yeah, I've vlogged like pretty heavily for a while. And I was like every day posting a new vlog. This was like when Casey Neistat was popping off in the city and and so I was like, oh, I'll just do Casey Neistat style videos. But that didn't work for me because I'm not Casey. So I started making my own style videos. And that's when I really realized you have to have your own style on something. Yeah, you can pick and choose cool transitions or cool music that other people are doing. But theoretically, like people want to see your life because they're watching your vlog. They're not watching you impersonate someone else's vlog. They want to see what your life is like. So that's, and that's the same with comedy, same with everything. People want to see your perspective, not you doing someone else's content badly, but just how your version of it. And so that was something that, you know, I've been doing with my performance, and I realized, okay, I should do that in like all areas of life.
No, yeah, I hear you on that. I go back and forth with that so often because it's like, all right, like, should I vlog? Like, should I not vlog? Like, no, I probably shouldn't. I have this unique thing where people listen to what I say because I don't know, my hair slipped back or whatever. And
I think you're in a really good position. I really find your podcast very helpful. Listen to the one today too. And it goes by so quickly, but I love how, you know, you're not afraid to be like, oh, this guy's a fucking idiot. This question's stupid. You should have a pro account, you motherfuckers. Like, it's not that hard. Have a pro account. Don't even talk to me if you don't have a pro account. So like, you're colorful and I like that, but you're also straight to the point. You don't, you're not worried about hurting anyone's feelings, which I enjoy. It's like a little tough New York for some people, but that's how it is in New York. You know, you got to just get straight to it. We don't have time for bullshit. We don't have time to sugarcoat everything. So that's what I really enjoy about your stuff. And doing, I did the week with you, then we did the 30 days. Mm-hmm. And I think I grew like pretty fast, pretty quickly after I figured out like what worked for me. So that was like, man, so thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate all the help you've given me. And even though I'm not still in your programs, it is nice that I know I can reach out to you and ask you questions, and we formed a friendship, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, man, it's been all, like I said, when you first started sending me this, like your stuff, when you first signed up, I'm like, fuck, man, like this guy could break, you know? And I think I kept telling you that in the emails too, like, dude, just change this little thing and this little thing. And trust me, this time next week, you'll be happier.
Like, right. Yeah, it's those little tweaks. And I'm under 200K right now, but I'm so, like, I only post, like, once or twice a day now. I feel like I'm comfortable where I'm at. Like, I don't need to post 5 or 6, 10 times a day. Like, if I want more growth, and I do want growth, but I'm not as focused on that right now. I'm more focused on trying, like, a TikTok life balance. Because it was every day, like, 8 hours a day trying to make 5 to 6 videos. And so right now, I'm just trying to come up with, like, quality videos and still grow, but I'm just kind of more focused on the quality over the quantity at this point.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you on that. But all right, so this is going to kick us off. Again, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
Really, I'll shoot you an email before this comes out, and I definitely want to see you when you're in Boga.
Awesome, man. Yeah, dude, thanks for doing everything you do. Keep going, man. You're doing great. I appreciate you.
Have a good one.
All right. That being said, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I cannot wait to see you guys in the next episode. Again, if you guys are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give the podcast a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, make sure you text me. I'm going to leave my phone number in the description of this video. Thank you so much.